Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 205. So last night, I was telling Rach, last night I went to bed. I didn't get your text. I didn't get several texts because I went upstairs at 8:07 like a third grader.
Wow.
And I got up at 5. And you know what I did? Trying to do things a little differently these days, you know, to expand my horizons. Mm-hmm. I went for a walk at 5:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Ooh,
let me tell
dark.
You something. It's dark.
Yeah,
like a well
is,
digger's ass.
Yeah, yeah, that is dark 30 right
I
there.
I mean, like cold. Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And chilly.
Yeah.
It was not too bad. It was probably like 57, something like that when I went.
Nice.
Not too bad. Yeah.
Good walking weather.
So I've been up for a while.
Man,
yeah, no kidding.
You're like going on the Amy routine.
I know, right? Maybe I'll see her out there one day.
Did it work?
Yeah, I slept. You know, I never, ever, ever sleep through the night. Uh-huh. I just don't. I would have to be really sick for that to happen or take a huge amount of drugs. But I probably was asleep by 8:30, pardon me, and I woke up at 3 and, you know, tousled a bit and then went back to sleep. But that's not too bad for me.
Yeah.
That was okay. You know what else I got? I got in bed. You ever get the thing where your toes curl under?
The cramp in your
the
foot?
The cramp in your
Dude,
foot.
Dude, I get those all the time.
Oh.
My, is that bad?
And by all the time, I mean like every couple
but
months.
But it kind of feels good a little
no,
bit.
No, it does not.
Oh. Well, you have bigger muscles.
In my feet.
Like, it hurts like hell.
Yeah.
But then when it's going away, you're like, let me do it again.
No, I don't want to do that. But I'm like, oh, it feels good to go. The worst one, like the when your calf does that.
That's nothing fun about that.
No. I had a couple of those in the middle of the night jar me out of sleep.
Yeah.
And I think I yelled. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Because you think it's never going to go away.
Oh, right. When you're in that just woke up, like super tired, it feels like it's lasting 5 minutes. It's probably 10 seconds.
It's like when you get your wind knocked out. Everyone's had their wind knocked out.
Yeah.
You know you're going to breathe again in a few seconds.
It doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't feel like it. It feels like it's never coming back.
You're like, oh, this is how I die.
Razor's Edge?
Yes, I have a couple of things I want to talk about for Razor's Edge today. The first is this very interesting article I have perused. And the title is there a psychological reason for people being mean on the internet?
Hmm.
So this is something we've talked about on the show many times. Like, what makes people do that? But this is applying science to the situation. So apparently the root of negativity on the internet may lie deep within the human psyche. This article says the majority of communication is nonverbal, composed of body language, eye contact, speech tone, and language patterns. So without this information to help us process and categorize information, our minds are left to sort through the uncertain. And thanks to a leftover prehistoric inclination for fight or flight, being unsure about another person's intent often creates a negative reaction to a perceived threat.
Hmm.
So basically what it's saying is,
when you're unsure,
everybody's
you're
reading unsure, too much into it.
You go negative. Yeah. Or just you can't pick up on tone. It's just text. So you're only getting one facet of the communication. Whereas we're all, I mean, think about like whenever one of us has COVID or something and we have to be over Zoom for the show, it kind of like throws off the show a little bit because you can't make eye contact. You can't give
That's
little
why we were
signals.
Here all the way during COVID.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
But even then, we can hear each other's voices and the inflection in our voice.
Right.
If it's something posted online, all you're seeing is the words.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people are sarcastic or there have been many times where I've posted something and people have taken it in a way that I didn't mean it to be taken.
It just happened with these two. Remember that? Just this week where Wheeler posted
something?
Oh, no,
something? Yeah, about the Deshaun Watson thing that we talked about.
The thing about Deshaun, and I kind of took it the wrong way, and I was like, I'm shocked. And I was shocked. I was like, wow, that's, I'm really surprised to hear him doing that.
Then you got people like me who always thinks everyone's mad at them. And so if you send me a text and it's not like, hey, Dave, my favorite person in the world.
Exclamation point, heart, heart, heart.
Yeah, yeah, then I'm like, oh, this is shady. This is shady.
That rings true what you're saying, like just based on reactions that interactions I've had with people. But there's also the added part of people that are initiating anger on purpose because they can't do it in real life. Because in real life, it has consequences. You're facing that person and you're going to get the negative reaction. Might not mean that they're going to hit you or something, but you're going to get that. But there you can just throw it out there and it's gone and nobody can hit you back. You can just, well, I'm not even going to look at that anymore.
You're exactly right. And according to studies, the closer physical proximity you have to someone, the less likely you are to be mean-spirited towards them.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one recent study found game show contestants were less likely to vote off a contestant standing next to them than one standing farther away. Hmm. So you're just, the average person is less likely to be mean when they can see someone in front of them.
Yeah.
Now, you might wonder, like, what makes someone want to be mean in the first place? Now, there are a million reasons for that. I'm sure some people have childhood trauma. Some people have all sorts of unresolved issues. I think there are people out there who are just generally mean, too. Like, there's nothing you can point at and say, like, oh, this is the reason why.
Yeah.
But it could happen more often than not on the internet because we're always presenting our best selves online. And, you know, if you're getting likes and you're getting shares, psychologists say that your self-esteem may bloom disproportionately and negatively impact your self-control. So you start to get high on your own supply, basically. Uh-huh. And then if someone says something negative to you, you're more likely to like lash out in a mean way.
Like a
because
bigger
you,
deal.
Yeah, because you feel like you're better than them.
I was just talking about this very issue in therapy today because I am an absolute people pleaser. For example, if Wheeler was my employee, when I used to work for the law firm I did, I thought they were absolutely mean, and they were, but they were very direct. And they could say, like, Wheeler, you're not pulling your weight. You got 1 month to turn it around or your ass is fired. I could never do that. I would either be like, hey, buddy, can we have a talk for a second? Or I would blow up, which I do like, what, Andrew, once a year, maybe once every 2 years, because I don't have that firm, steady look you in the eye and tell you what I think. I don't have that. And I think one of the reasons I don't is because both my mom and dad were like that. My mom, like, don't make Jack Glover ask for the ketchup twice, for the love of God, because he will go ape crap. And my mom was the same way. My mom was very like, oh, so what you're telling me is brr. And so they used to embarrass me a lot. And I just hated that. I hated the confrontation of it. And like, you're going so far over the top. Why do you have to do that? Mm-hmm. So I just overcorrected, but to my detriment. You need to have that gear. I'm glad that I was talking about Phoebe Glover being so mean, but I'm glad she has that gear. You know, she's a sweet person, but when she needs to settle the business of the five families, she can.
Yeah.
And I just don't have that gear, and my life would have been different if I had.
But doesn't necessarily mean better.
True.
I mean, when you think about how well things worked, maybe that's part of why it worked.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's always hard to do in retrospect, right? Because every time I think about something, oh, I could have done this different as a player. I could have done this differently coaching a game. You think about it that way, like, yep, if I change that thing, maybe that outcome's different. But that might also mean other things are different.
I kind of wanted to tie in what we're talking about with, I hate to bring up Ariana Grande again, but allow me to do so. Have you seen the controversy surrounding this Wicked poster that was a fan edit? You saw this,
yeah,
David?
Yeah.
Well, just for the listeners, in case they haven't heard about it. So Wicked is coming out in a couple of weeks, I guess. I'm not sure exactly when it's coming out. I thought it was already out because people are talking about it so much. But, you know, it's a famous musical that they've converted into a movie. And for the movie poster, they made it look kind of like the musical poster, but a little different. In the movie poster, the Wicked Witch, I guess, is, you can see her entire face. She doesn't have red lipstick on. In the musical poster, her face is covered by her hat and she has this red lipstick
smile
and a smirk. Yeah. So a fan decided to make an edit of this poster, and I guess they used artificial intelligence to do so. And what they did was they edited the Wicked Witch to have the red smile and the smirk and covering half of her face. So the person, and I apologize, is it the Wicked Witch I'm talking about, Wheels? I haven't seen the musical. Yeah. Okay.
I haven't seen Wicked at all, but that's who it is.
Kevin's
in the pictures.
A huge Wicked.
It's the green one.
Yeah, the green lady. So there is an actress, I'm sorry, I don't know her first name. I'm not seeing it in this article.
Cynthia Erivo.
So she plays the Wicked Witch in the upcoming Wicked movie. She took so much offense to this fan edit of the poster. She took it so insanely personally. She actually reposted it and said this. This is the wildest, most offensive thing I have seen. None of this is funny. None of it is cute. It degrades me. It degrades us. The original poster is an illustration. I am a real-life human being who chose to look right down the barrel of the camera to you, the viewer, because without words, we communicate with our eyes. To edit my face and hide my eyes is to erase me, and that is just deeply hurtful.
Yikes.
To which I say, I'm sorry that you are living on the edge of emotional turmoil like this. Like, I actually do feel very bad for this person because she has a victim complex that is, it's got to be hard to live with that. If you feel like a fan making an edit to your poster is erasing you, like, that is a huge bummer that that is your mindset. I'm sorry. But you have to be tougher than that. And you also had the option of not replying to this fan. This is just a fan who
right.
probably loves the musical, probably super excited to go see the movie, and just wanted to make a couple little tweaks. And for you to be like, you take this interaction on the internet and you take it and you spin it the worst possible way anyone could ever take it, I just find that very, very sad. Yeah.
She would have a point if the studio did that. I think she would have a bigger point. I think the problem here, there's two problems here. One, she has issues. I don't know. There's no question. If you overreact to one person doing one thing, right, and that person's not even officially associated with anything to do with the movie,
right? It's just a
they
fan.
Don't have. It's just a person doing a thing. If that's bothering you that much, you've got your own problems. But then there's another part of this that I think stands out to me too is. Super fans can be super annoying. It's okay if you just leave the poster as it was shot instead of like, I wish it looked like the old one, like the cartoon one, like the original one, and I'm going to make it look like that. I don't think that that person has bad intentions, but I see that all the time in the Marvel universe, in the Star Wars universe, in all of these fandoms. If something's not just the way that it used to be, I want to fix it and make it that way. Like, let it go.
I guess I disagree with that, Wheels, because the fans are the whole reason these things exist. And it's like, if they want to make an edit and post it on the internet, that's just their creative expression. They're just going like, hey, this is how I love this, but what if it looked even more like the original post? I don't think the fan did anything wrong.
Not wrong so much. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I am upset at the fact that how could you take it that way? How could you take it as like you're erasing me? Like they're just making it look like the original poster.
Did she know that?
I mean, I'm guessing she didn't know.
She has to at least be aware of how famous and popular that image is.
Yeah.
Right, but if you don't know that image exists and then you see the edit that basically takes your face out of it, I can see having the gut reaction, well, geez, that's pretty crappy, but I do not think there's any scenario where you would lose your mind like that, where you would go so over the top and be like, you're erasing me.
Yeah, and I guess the point I'm trying to make, too, is like, even if this person was maliciously trying to erase you, the studio didn't do it.
Right.
Like, this is something you could have eased, like... How you're a celebrity, don't you get hate online all the time? you would have thicker skin than that at a certain point.
That's a good point, yes.
I have heard, though, from people who are fans of Broadway online that she's kind of infamous for this. Like, she's infamous. This is kind of her way of, like, getting as much attention as possible, is she kind of seeks the negative route where she will just, like, if anybody...
Like a Wicked Witch.
Sort of, yeah. But if she ever sees anybody doing anything that she doesn't like online, she will be, like, even if it's, again, just, like, a random person that's like, I don't think she has a very good voice, she will, like, shut things down.
That's so exhausting.
In order to make, like, a giant deal, as big a deal out of it as she possibly can.
225 DGS. Let me preview Halloween for you. So, for those of you who are new to the show... For 20 years, I did 97.1 FM Talk, and for 19 of those, we did Halloween shows. We've done a couple of them here. Every year, we do something for Halloween. I'm in a little bit of a battle with the man, with management, because they don't think it's super appropriate for KMOX. So rather than doing it in the 4 o'clock hour, the money hour, we're doing it in the 3 o'clock hour, which no skin off anyone's nose, because we have as many people who podcast as we do who listen live now, just given the changes in technology, millions and millions every year. Thank you for that. It's crazy. And so here's what we're going to do for Halloween this year. And I promise you, promise, that next year we're going to go to a site, have a couple of them in my line of sight that I want to kind of line up and decide which will be the best show. But this year, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we will be featuring past shows. We'll condense them down to an hour. Some of your favorites, and for many of you, you won't have heard them ever before. We're going to lead off with the Sally House, where it appeared that my brother spoke through this ghost box, and I can get more into detail with that, which I do on Monday's show. And then on Halloween proper, I'm writing a new short horror story, so I'll read you that. And then we have listeners who have emailed in spooky stories, and then they're coming in and they're recording them. And today we had Lizzie, who was phenomenal. I don't know about you, Andrew, but I was for real getting chills.
Yeah, I don't think we said a word the whole,
no,
like,
20, we didn't say
we
a
just,
word.
Like, keep going.
I told her, I'm like, Lizzie, just treat this like you're at a campfire. And typically people are like, okay, but will you this and that? And she just took off, and 20 minutes later, we were freaked out. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 233. Our buddy Jared Young is in with us. Good to see you again, my friend.
Good to be back. Thank you.
How are things?
Doing great. Just trying to get through the home stretch here.
Yeah. I bet you're feeling good. Win, lose, draw. Like, just, it's going to be nice to wrap it up. And
yeah, you know, I'm really proud of what we've accomplished and the message we've been able to consistently carry. And yeah, no matter what happens, I'll be glad it's over, but I'll be
I don't blame you.
Grateful for what we were
able
to
do. Yeah, it's like any contest, right? Any sporting event, any contest, you're just like, okay, enough of this.
Yeah.
Let's pick a winner and let's move on. Let's do, you know, whatever we're going
to
do.
Just mostly ready to start seeing my family again.
Yeah, no kidding. Remind people about your family. How many kids?
I have 6 kids and the oldest is 13. So lots of little ones that are at home, hopefully missing me. At this point, they might just not know who I am.
Like, oh,
I guess.
That guy. I remember that guy. Yeah. Real tall, right?
Yeah.
So you represent many things that I agree with. And the main thing you represent that I agree with is that it really is... My smart friends like Hancock and Kelly are big fans of the two-party system. I'm not a big fan of the two-party system.
Yep.
We could have 3, we could have 5. In Israel, I think they have like 17,
yep,
and they're all viable. And I think that eventually we need to get to that, and you're a good start.
Yeah, so there are a lot of reasons that we've ended up with a two-party system. And I actually think it served us relatively well in the past. It's just serving us horribly right now. But it is so ingrained in people's thinking, and that's what we've been fighting against all along. And I get the argument all the time. Look, I'd love to vote for you. I love what you're doing, but you're a wasted vote. And it doesn't make sense to me. First of all, if your argument is it's a wasted vote because you don't stand a chance of winning, well, what about a Trump voter in California? Are they wasting their vote? Because there's no chance Trump's going to win California. Are they wasting their vote? No, they're not wasting their vote because voting is not about picking a winner, right? You're not going in there placing a bet. You're not trying to guess what the outcome is. You're making a statement about what you think our country needs, what you think your state needs, you know, county, city, whatever you're voting for. You're making a statement. This is what I think my country needs, and I think this person is going to bring us there. So everybody should be thinking that way and not thinking, oh, what's everybody else going to do? No, you just should be making a statement about what you think we need.
And if Trump it should get 30% in California and he gets 60 or 40, or if Kamala Harris is supposed to get 30% Missouri and she gets 45, it makes a difference
right,
for the next time around.
Exactly.
Yeah. So remind people where you stand on things.
So, you know, generally I consider myself a moderate conservative. So let's take the abortion thing. You know, I'm a pro-life guy, but I also think the pro-life movement does itself a disservice by being all or nothing and totally uncompromising. So I'm actually opposed to the current status of the law in Missouri. I think it's too strict, but I'm also opposed to Amendment 3 because I think it goes too far. I think, 15 weeks with reasonable exceptions for rape, incest, and health of the mother. I think that's a moderate place where most Missourians would be comfortable. And in just the system set up right now that we can't get to these reasonable, moderate places.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing on all these issues. There are so many issues where there's pretty broad consensus among the population, but we can't actually get to that consensus because of the partisanship and the bickering. I think immigration is another one. I can't remember if we've talked about this before on your show, but most Americans agree we need a secure border. We need legal immigrants. it shouldn't be hard to craft policy that acknowledges both of those truths. And I was on a show this morning, and the way they put it was big wall with a big door. And I love that. I think that sums it up nicely.
Yeah. I've yet to find something I really disagree with you on. I mean, we're kind of similarly thinking. I would consider myself a right-leaning independent, although I am socially liberal on many things. I'm one of those people that if there's... this group is 1% of the population. Well, as long as they're not hurting anybody, let them live. Let them do what they need to do. You know, they're going to do it anyway. Just let them do what they're going to do. How's the campaign trail been as opposed to what you expected it to be?
In some ways, it's been incredible. There are people all over Missouri that are doing amazing things, not just in politics, but just generally. People who have stood up and decided, I'm going to make a difference in my community. And I love interacting with those people. We need more of those people. We need more people. I guess one of the disappointments I've seen is there's this huge moderate middle, right? People who are the reasonable people that really make America go in day-to-day life. And those are the people that are not politically active. And that's exactly the problem, is that we need to activate these people that they just want people to get along. And for that reason, they kind of withdraw from politics. We need these people to get up and say, no, okay, I'm tired of the way things are and I'm going to do something about it. And that's been the biggest challenge, is I'm trying to activate the people who typically haven't been politically active. And frankly, I was in that group 2 or 3 years ago, so I can't say I blame them, but nothing's going to change until those of us who see the problem get up and do something about
it. When did you have your first inkling to do this? And what was the genesis of it?
You know, I was really interested in politics in my early 20s. You know, I worked in every branch of government during college. I interned at the state legislature. I went to law school thinking that I wanted to go into politics. As I got to Harvard Law School and really got close to politics and saw how it really worked and what campaigning looked like, I realized, oh my gosh, I am not interested in this at all, and completely turned my back on it. So I initially had that bug. I've always been interested in policy, and I always thought the idea of being a policymaker was interesting, but got turned off when I saw how the sausage was made. Mm-hmm. But it's really in the last 8 to 10 years, as I've just watched the tone and the direction of our country take such an awful turn. And every election cycle, I've been crossing my fingers, hoping that we'd take a step back towards some reasonableness, towards some normalcy, and instead we keep taking a step in the wrong direction every election cycle. And so I just reached a point where, okay, I either had to go all in or I needed to completely disengage.
Other than just getting better people, better human beings to run for office, what do you think needs to be changed, could be changed with the system that would lead to that, as opposed to putting up a big wall that the better the person you are, the less you want to crawl through the crappy field to get over to where you need to be.
Yeah. So there are two ways to answer that question. One, there's a whole bunch of like structural reforms I could propose, and we can talk about those. But I've come to realize in the last few weeks or the last months that one thing that would make a huge difference, especially with the impact of money in politics, would be if we would all just be more informed as voters. If every single voter would just put a little more effort into doing research and being informed, it would completely eliminate, maybe not completely, but mostly eliminate the influence of money in politics. Because the whole reason the money exists and matters is because it buys eyeballs, right? It forces people to pay attention. If we were all voluntarily paying attention, I think we would do so much better at holding leaders accountable. I think we would just choose better people because we'd be more informed about what they're actually doing, what they actually stand for. And so I think that's actually what would make the biggest difference, is if each one of us individually just was more active and more informed and more responsible in the way that we vote and the way we engage.
To that point, I'm sure you agree with me that one of the main reasons I'll be glad for the election season to be gone, we're all tired of the political ads, but what I get tired of, as I consider myself a thinker, is the ham-fistedness with which we communicate to each other. You know, my opponent likes punching baby deer. You know, right. Like that, it's like it doesn't do any good for anybody. You know, you didn't learn anything from that.
We have a new set of ads that you would absolutely love. We take that stereotypical attack ad, right? Except we took out the name and blanked out the face of various people, and it says, insert name here, likes killing baby deer. Insert name here, just insert name here, and that's the whole ad. And then just the end, you know, it says politics will never change until we choose something better. But that's exactly the point, right? We are all so sick of this, so exhausted by it. And that's what we've tried to be, is a breath of fresh air, just just that reasonable voice that people are longing for.
I know you don't like to dunk on other people, but I'm curious that when you were with Kuntz and Holly, was Holly nice to you? Because Kuntz told me he tried to ignore him.
Lucas Kuntz was extremely nice. Josh Hawley wasn't unkind. He pretended like he didn't know who I was when he first walked up.
That's pretty unkind.
And then after the debate, he was like, hey, nice to meet you in person. But, he was fine. If nothing else, Josh Hawley is 100% on message and in character at all times. And he was very much on message and in character when he was there. So,
yeah.
So I did not have much interaction with him.
I'm sure you've had the discussions with your wife. If you don't prevail this time, do you know what you kind of want to do next?
Well, so this is part of the reason that instead of just running as a pure independent, I started this new party, right? It's called the Better Party. As long as we get 2% in the election, which we're polling well above that, so we should be able to get that. Then we've got this new party that suddenly provides ballot access for reasonable, moderate, independent folks in future elections. And so what we'll do is we'll start to build out the infrastructure of that party from the ground up. We have several thousand people now on our list that are interested in being involved in this. We'll build out, you know, some of that infrastructure that we didn't have this time that the other parties have, and start to try to win some local races in 2026, and really be more of a presence and an acknowledged force in Missouri politics, so that when 2028 comes around, we'll be in a better position to win a statewide race.
How do people get involved with that?
Betterpartymo.com is the party website. So that's where you can sign up. And we're going to need as many hands on deck as possible to build that thing up.
You should be really proud of yourself. I mean, that's a big deal. If that's all you accomplish, you've accomplished a great deal.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, it feels good to not have this just be a flash in the pan sort of thing, to have something that's a lasting thing that we can build on after this election.
Same website if people want to learn about you in particular?
VoteJaredYoung.com is my website. You can reach that through the BetterPartyMo.com as well. Vote Jared Young, both on social media and the website. That's our handle and our website.
I'm sure you'll be too busy to come back before the election, but call in.
Okay.
Get another hit.
Will do.
All right. Welcome back, guys. DGS250. Coming up at the top of the hour, we have Brad Young, who's going to tell us about this Kim Gardner thing. And let me speak out of relative ignorance here. My understanding from reading one article is that with all the shenanigans and this reign of terror that Kim Gardner foisted upon the city of St. Louis, that all she's copping to is that she misused $5,000 of city funds for her own personal use, and she's gone into this program for criminals who, as I understand it, like, oh, they just can't stay out of jail and they really need a break, and as long as you keep your nose clean for 17 or 18 months and it all goes away and you're totally fine. I mean, we all have sort of a sense of justice, and it just doesn't feel like, really? Damn. Who knew that you could do all those things that she did? And really, like, I've never seen a human being, one individual human with two hands and two feet, do more damage to a bigger area than she did to St. Louis. I mean, it was just embarrassing and did real damage, and real people were affected. And to just get off with not even a slap on the wrist. It's nothing. It's nothing. She has to set her pride aside and say, like, yeah, I went and bought purses or something with $5,000 of city funds. And as long as I don't do it again for 17 months, which she's not a stupid person, she won't. She's off scot-free.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's like it's a bad system or something.
Almost, yeah. Almost like that. You know, when you think about the fallout from things like not having someone ready to show up for a trial, and then trial gets put off, and then that person gets released, and then that person hurts someone else. I mean, we can talk about the Janae Edmonds story all day about this, where, you know, we know how that happened. A young girl from Tennessee loses her legs because a guy who should have been prosecuted before wasn't, because nobody showed up for trial. You know, I'm like... It's not that hard to show up. It's not that hard to have people. When you're losing people and not replacing them, clearly you're at the root cause of it, right? I mean, even if you can make arguments that, well, some of it is not in my control, but you took the job. You're the boss. Mm-hmm. That means you have to be the one that gets it done, regardless of the difficulties. And you certainly can't be the one, which is how it appears in this case, that actively contributes to the problem.
Disappointing.
Yeah, it just seems like once you are at that level as a politician, like,
I know,
the consequences don't like apply to you anymore.
Yeah.
Well, the consequences of doing a poor job just means you lose that job. It doesn't mean that you're actually going to suffer consequences for all of the fallout from those actions.
So, Andrew, you need an "Am I the A-hole?"
Yeah, I had this. Wait, I went to lunch with a friend of mine at a place that's way far away.
The one that you never introduced me and Rach to?
No, that's a different friend.
Okay.
I was wearing a Chiefs shirt, and he came by the table, and he's taking our order, and then after he takes our order, he's like, who's going to win today with the Chiefs? And I told him who I thought, and then he's like, nah, because you see it's rigged, right? So it's, and he starts laying out how the whole thing is rigged. The NFL is rigged. Every team has to win a certain amount
of
times.
Your waiter? The server?
Yes, the server. And then he's like, and this is what I was talking about with my Uber driver this morning that was taking me here. The whole thing is rigged, and that's why you have to be careful where you put your money when you gamble, because you got to gamble on it because it's a sure thing because it's rigged. And he's just going through all, and it's, and I'm, my friend and I are just, and my friend knows nothing at all about sports or football or anything, so he's, you know, not following in the slightest, and I'm just like, yeah, you know, we were kind of trying to talk about, he was like, you guys were talking about this too? And it's like, no, we're trying to talk about something completely different that doesn't involve
you.
Who's like not, sat down
not
next
getting
to us
my food.
Yeah. To talk about how the NFL is rigged and you know, gambling is a sure thing if you just figure out how it's rigged. And I was just wondering, like, am I refusing a human connection like that? Am I the bad person here or
oh no.
No, I don't think in this case.
Okay.
I think it's a sliding scale. I think if he would have said, who's going to win? And you said, no, Chiefs. And he goes, nah, it's rigged. And he would have walked off. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You're a weirdo.
And if he had said, who do you think's going to win? And I said, shut up. Don't talk to me.
Right.
Yeah. You're the jerk. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not cool.
But
I mean,
there comes a point when the scale has slid far enough when it's been 5 minutes and they're still talking.
It was like 3 full minutes of like a full on like web of conspiracy around the NFL, and I'm
and
like,
you know, he did that 5 or 6 times that day.
Well, it was funny because I was like,
and someone thought it was charming,
and I kept wanting to say, like, well, okay, so you think it's rigged, but then you think they're still gambling, and so it's like, why would the gambling apps exist if the whole thing is
if they're not the ones rigging it?
Yeah, if the whole thing is rigged.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
I get a lot of those things. We used to get that all the time on the overnight sports show, too.
That it's rigged?
Oh, everything's rigged. The NBA draft is rigged, and baseball is rigged, and the NFL
is
rigged.
Do you think anything is rigged?
I think there have been games that have been rigged. Yes, we know that that's happened. But, like, no leagues are rigged. Do you have any, I mean, like, not asking you, asking your server who's the conspiracy nut, like, do you have any idea how many people would have to know that?
Yeah.
And none of them ever
talked
or get themselves in trouble in some other way and say, guess
Flip.
What, guys?
Yeah.
I got a good card to play here. Like, TV networks would have to know. Therefore, news outlets would have to know. Therefore, I mean, like, and then you attach all the family members and everything. No way.